It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Indeed, it is hump day, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. It is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter, all kinds of great information there. We're starting these new podcasts, sounding off with Kim Munson, and also some super op-eds. A couple of, we did three really terrific podcasts last week. One was with Steve Ryder, whose wife actually died alone after 21 days in the hospital. It is a riveting podcast, so be sure and check that out. And then Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas with I'm a Trumpster, and they're going to have a new show that debuts on Sunday right here on KLZ 560 from 4 to 5 p.m., and we did a great podcast with them. And then Reverend C.L. Bryant, who had been with the NAACP, his star was rising with the NAACP. And then when he said, you know, I just really can't get behind this whole abortion thing, his star took a big U-turn. But he's also with Black Voices for Trump. And so wanted to talk with C.L. and Reggie and Johnny about all of this that's going on in America right now. So all those podcasts came out in the newsletter, and then they're on the website now. We've got a great show planned for you today. In studio with me is Karen Levine, valued partner of mine. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. Great to have you here.
Great to be here.
And we're going to be talking with a friend of yours, Brian Judge, who is an architect up in the Vail Valley, regarding just why does things cost so much? A really interesting, you know, permitting thing. These are kind of hidden costs. And so it'll be really interesting to talk with him. And you'll give us our update then at the bottom of the hour as well. So,
yep, I'm excited to share the statistics from May.
They're always interesting. So, yes, that's the cliffhanger for us.
It is.
And then in the second segment, John Kellner, who is running for district attorney in the 18th Judicial District, which is Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln counties, will be joining us. And there was actually this Senate Bill 217 that is making its way through the Colorado legislature right now, which really affects policing here in Colorado. And so I want to ask him about that, Karen. I think that'll be really interesting. I always like to say thank you to the team. Guess what? It is hump day. Producer Steve, you love this day.
Yeah. No debate.
And a great team I get to work with. That's Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and of course, Steve. And each of you listeners, you're each valued. You have a purpose. My friends, we were made for this moment. We stand on the shoulders of giants as we look at what's happening in our country, all the way from the Patriots in the Revolutionary War to those that fought in the Civil War, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, all the conflicts and wars that we've been involved in. And we've had people that have given it all, their last full measure of devotion, so that we could have this country that is based on this idea that all men are created equal with these inalienable rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And we are at a very dangerous time right now. We're at a totally defining moment in our country. And so we need to wrap our brains around these ideas and engage in the battle of ideas with those around us. And that's what we do every day. And Karen Levine, you know, you've been a partner for a long time, and I just so appreciate you because it is so important that we're engaging and talking about these ideas.
I just think it's an interesting environment to try to find your voice and to be heard in a conversation, not in a attacking manner, but to have a voice and to be able to share the concerns about what's going on and not get sucked into the propaganda that we're fed daily.
Do you not find it interesting, Karen, that when we talk about having a conversation, you know, I think that we're missing with a lot of folks that are just glued into this mainstream media of an intellectual curiosity, an intellectual honesty. It's almost like words are coming out, but they're parroting what they're hearing. And I've just been a little shocked and surprised about that.
Definitely. It's shocking. And it's that they don't want to think on their own. They don't want it. You don't want to. You and yet you're afraid to share. And I have the privilege of knowing a young graduate, a 2020 high school graduate that I had lunch with this week. And she went to a online private school type situation, and it's called Classic Conversation. That's what the school is called.
Okay, interesting.
And she learned how to converse and how to voice her opinions and how to develop her opinions. And she wrote her thesis regarding abortion, and what a difficult subject matter to tackle at 18 years of age. But she said she just appreciates having a conversation, and why can't we develop that back into our society? And it excited me that an 18-year-old had that vision.
That is great to hear.
That,
and because they are our future.
They are.
So that's great to hear. Let's continue. As we look at these issues, you know, we need to put our thinking caps on. That is one of the things in this whole narrative out there that is just so shocking to me. Instead of asking these questions, like Rudyard Kipling says, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. And so many people are not asking those questions these days. But Steve, I know that you are. What's on your mind this morning?
As you might expect in a show like this, you and I have a pre-conversation while you're driving in. And I had shared with you that I look at what went down yesterday in this funeral in Houston. Who in our lifetime has ever commanded the three major networks and lots of smaller networks for full-time coverage of an event? And I'm talking about yesterday's event went 3 or 4 hours, as far as I know. And what the answer or the question in my mind is, why? After watching this and the buffoonery of Al Sharpton being the eulogizer and what he did to his opportunity to speak, I feel like a gutted fish. And then to top it off, to make my joy complete, I had a hard time getting to sleep last night.
So you're cranky?
Yes. Oh, I am very cranky. And the late night show hosts, every one of them had the same format. It's like they got their marching orders from the same source, which we know how that works. But the camera shot was very tight on this guy, on each one's face, and they had that oh-so-sorrowful slash, I don't know how to describe the look on their face. And again, they're preaching about the situation that stems from the situation in Minneapolis. And I say, when have we ever seen this level of brainwashing going down?
Well, and, you know, I think that we are united in America that, you know, what happened to George Floyd was not okay. I mean, I think we're totally united on that. And we'll talk with John Kellner about this, but due process is so important. That is in the Constitution, that if you are accused of a crime, you should be able to confront your accusers, that you should be able to have a trial, you know, and so that is inherent in the American idea. And so certainly with George Floyd, you know, dying at, you know, with this police officer, that is not okay, because George Floyd did not have due process. But on the other hand, we have to make sure we have due process for the police officer as well. Mm-hmm. Because if we get into a society where instead of due process, that people are tried in public opinion. And that's why I'm concerned about the Senate Bill 217 regarding our policing, because in it, all police officers are supposed to wear, at least to my understanding, body cameras. And then that video is supposed to be released within a certain period of time. Well, sometimes you don't have the whole context. Sometimes people edit that. And so we're in a very dangerous time on that. But for our inspiration, and I believe in this battle of ideas and battle of words and getting our brains around this. And Karen, have you ever heard of the Black Robed Regiment by any chance?
I hadn't until yesterday.
Aha. Okay. So, and Steve, I think I asked you about this. Had you heard of them before?
No, excuse me. No, I had not.
Okay, I'm going to give you a little history lesson here. John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg lived 1746 to 1807. He was born in Pennsylvania, the son of a prominent Lutheran pastor. He was sent to be educated in Germany, and he got tired of the academic life and joined a unit of German dragoons. He rose to become secretary of the regiment, but his parents disapproved, and they were able to secure him an early release. Muhlenberg returned to America, where he resumed his theological studies. He was ordained a Lutheran pastor and ordained in the Anglican Church and served a congregation of German immigrants in Virginia. Muhlenberg was a firm supporter of the American cause. At the outbreak of the war, he called upon his parishioners to support the American cause by proclaiming, "There's a time to preach and a time to fight, and now is the time to fight." And with those words, he displayed the uniform. He took off his robe of a Continental colonel, and promptly that day recruited 300 of his members who walked out of that church, and they went to serve with the 8th Virginia Regiment. And this is, it was from Ecclesiastes 8 in the Bible. He said that, here we go. "There is a time for all things, a time to preach and a time to pray. But those times have passed away, and there is a time to fight. And that time has come." And so my theme for today was courage. We need to have courage to engage in these in difficult conversations in America today. And so I felt inspiration from that. What do you think, Karen?
I think he's right on. We are in a time to fight. And I think the fighting we've seen in many of our cities is not the fighting he is referring to.
Exactly. And in America, the battle of ideas are words, are conversations, because words are powerful. Ronald Reagan basically brought down the Berlin Wall with words. And so, my friends, that is what we need to do, is to make sure that we are understand our ideas and be able to engage in that. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, another one of my valued partners is Hooters Restaurants, and they have 5 Colorado locations, and they are accepting to-go orders. And you can order at order.hooters.com, and they are open in their locations. You can actually drop by and have a nice cold beverage, and I had some great nachos the other night. Mm. So go to order.hooters.com, and, just to have a nice evening out. And so we're going to go to break. When we come back, we will be talking with John Kellner, and he is running. He's a candidate for district attorney in the 18th Judicial District. And these races, my friends, are so, so important. Karen Levine is in studio with me. You know her. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. It is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. And another thing that is on there is you can sign up and buy your tickets for the Three Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism. This is an event we'll be doing our salon series over at Water's Edge Winery on June 22nd. And Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice will be presenting on that. If there was ever a time to try to get your brain around this, that will do that. And so tickets are selling very rapidly, so I would recommend that you go ahead and get your tickets there. John Kellner is on the line with me. He is a candidate for the 18th Judicial District. That's easy for me to say this morning. 18th Judicial District. And these DA races are so important. George Soros has been playing in a number of different DA races. And John Kellner, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me on again.
Most definitely. Now, the last time you were on was about 3 weeks ago. And my, oh my, things have changed since we talked last, John.
Yeah, that's pretty fair.
Yeah. Well, where would you like to start on this, John? I'm a bit concerned about this Senate Bill 217 that looks like it's very possibly going to become law because it is regarding policing here in Colorado. And I think the thing that I'm very concerned about with it, John, is that it basically takes away the immunity, the qualified immunity, or I can't remember what it is exactly.
Yeah, it's called qualified immunity.
Okay, of police officers. And so tell us a little bit about that, because I'm concerned about that, John.
Sure. Well, the qualified immunity piece is probably just one important aspect, but just one aspect of that entire Senate bill. So the whole bill you're talking about, Senate Bill 217, I think it was introduced last Wednesday and had its first hearing on Thursday. Of course, everything's happening at lightning speed right now in the legislature as they kind of close down, knock on wood, getting close to the end here. And it's designed, or at least the intent, was to create some more transparency, some more accountability in police forces around the state. And I think this is an important thing for the legislature to address because, I mean, there's a clear mood, not just in the protests right now, but, you know, on social media and talking to neighbors and friends, that there is growing, distrust at times, not just in the police force, but in our government in general. I think you see that in things like with the changes and information we got from COVID. But to stick with just Senate Bill 217, you know, it does a lot more than just talk about qualified immunity. So before we kind of get to that piece, I mean, I think it's important to really address some of the other things it does too. Like it bans, you know, chokeholds and certain kinds of chokeholds that I think most law enforcement agencies already ban internally based on their own policies. But now there's a state law that says, look, you can't do these things. They've been found to really cause unnecessary or unexpected damage to people and at times deprive them of due process. So that's a good thing. Another good thing that the bill is doing is it's increasing transparency by requiring all law enforcement to wear body cameras. And George Brockware, my boss, the current district attorney who's term limited, he testified about this and he brought up some really important points, which is, we really love body camera as prosecutors. I find it to be an incredibly effective tool to show the jury what happened and really helps us, get to the right spot, I think, at times and bring justice to victims. And honestly, so often it exonerates police officers from allegations of misconduct. So I think increasing body camera, that's another good thing, and we should all get behind that. And the way they did it at first, I will say, it had some significant privacy concerns. The way it's been amended through, I think, some of the great work of our senators and the GOP, working with other senators in the Democratic Party to tighten that up in a way that I have much less concerns about privacy issues being implicated when body cameras released. I can go on. There's some other good things about it, like creating a statewide database for officers who are untruthful, or officer misconduct. And I think that's important for all of us, because you don't want to see, a bad officer, somebody who's done something that violates the public trust, maybe leave one police force and move somewhere else in the state and get a job in a way that, reduces the public trust. So those are all some good things. I know that's just a preface to getting into qualified immunity, but I'll jump into that now if you want.
Okay, one other quick question, though, is my understanding in the bill is that there were some units that were exempted. So, for example, the state police is exempted from this, and the state police reports to POLIS. So I'm very concerned that this is not consistent across the board, that this is actually really affecting our everyday officers that are on the street. And my gosh, if that's what we're going to do for our everyday officers, who I really appreciate, then it should be across the board. The state police should not be exempted from it, in my opinion, John.
Well, and I completely agree with that. And that was one of our big concerns that was raised initially, which was, look, if you're going to do this, you ought to do this and make it apply to everybody.
You think?
And not just that, Kim, but real quick, my understanding of some of these amendments and what I've seen is that it does now apply to the state police as well. Okay. But, what's interesting to me is what the legislature is trying to do was create a way for people to sue for Colorado state constitutional violations and potentially collect money damages. Now, you can do that in a federal court right now under Section 1983, and we see those claims happen every now and then, and that's a reality of life. But that 1983 claim, the federal law, applies to all government actors. And one thing I would say is that if they're going to create a way to sue for state constitutional violations, that should apply to not just police, frankly, but to all government actors.
The politicians and bureaucrats too, huh?
I think that's fair, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to apply that standard for one aspect of government to increase trust and accountability, then it should be the same across the entire board for government.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for that. Now we only have a few more minutes, but John Kellner, Patty had found my researcher this headline that Chicago saw its deadliest day in 60 years with 18 murders in 24 hours. Now, we've seen this narrative. I mean, every life is valuable, but where is the outrage on this? And I believe Chicago has one of George Soros' DAs there. And so if we're concerned about lives, black lives, we're not seeing an outrage there. And that is why these DA races are so important. So speak to that, John.
Well, I think the importance of the DA race has to do with seeking justice for all. I mean, it has so little to do with our day-to-day evaluation of cases, the color of somebody's skin or what religion they ascribe to, or obviously what party somebody's a member of, a political party. None of those things matter. What matters are the facts, the law, the evidence, and seeking justice for victims while ensuring due process is afforded to defendants. So, I mean, anywhere you see a headline of extreme violence like that, you have to be concerned about what are the underlying, not just policing issues, what are the underlying community issues, but how is your local district attorney approaching seeking justice for those people and accountability for the offenders. My approach has been driven by a passion for justice. I've been doing this for a long time since I was a judge advocate in the Marine Corps. I've been serving our local community here in Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln counties for going on about 7.5 years, and before that was a DA in another part of the state. And so when I approach this job, it is with an eye towards justice for all and ensuring victims get justice and defendants are entitled to due process.
Okay, and that is inherent in the American idea, due process, justice, search for truth, search for justice. How can people get more information about you, John Kellner?
Well, thanks, Kim. Anybody can go to my website. It's johnkellner.com, johnkellner.com. You can follow us, the campaign, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, at johnkellnerco. I think we're building a great group, a great coalition of people that are motivated by our message, that really want to see justice done in our communities and keep our communities safe. Love to have any support that y'all can come my way.
Okay, John Kellner, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you in several weeks.
Thanks, kid. Appreciate the time.
You betcha. And jumping over here, it's Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. How are you doing? It's hump day, Jason McBride.
Oh, that's good. Jump over here for hump day.
That's for sure. So the market, you know, we talked about it yesterday. You said it's not going to go straight up. And so yesterday there was a little bit of a pullback. So what's your thoughts on that?
Well, let's see what happens. It was kind of a mixed market. The NASDAQ, Kim, actually had a pretty good day. The NASDAQ was up for the day. It actually hit 10,000 for the first time intraday and gave a little bit of it back. Now, you're right, the Dow, the S&P, pretty much all the other indexes did give back a little bit yesterday, but it wasn't anything severe. You know, it didn't feel like panicked selling or furious or anything like that. The volume was much lower yesterday on the pullback, which is exactly what you'd want to see. That is, if you're hoping the market's going to continue to go up. So, yeah, certainly we've had still, I say we've had a very fast move up. We may be getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. But then you've got to look at the other side too, Kim. I mean, the Fed is dumping tremendous amounts of money out into the system. Interest rates are very low. It doesn't seem like they would go up anytime soon with what's been happening. So, yeah, we do have a lot of money floating out there. So even if the market's a little bit artificially supported here, that still doesn't mean it couldn't move up more as well.
Okay, now question, unemployment numbers, when do they come out normally?
I believe, gosh, boy, there's so many. The jobless claims, when they're looking at how many new people file for unemployment, I believe that comes out weekly,
okay.
And I think it's every Thursday. And then the actual jobs report, the from the Bureau of Labor Statistics that everybody focuses on, that gives us the unemployment rate and all that, that's once a month on a Friday.
Okay. And the reason I was listening, I heard Britt Hume last night say that, you know, we had these good numbers this last week, but, you know, and there still could be some rockiness here because there's still a lot of people unemployed. And I think my point is, you know, as we've been talking this week, is the fact that the market has been so strong is really a good time, I think, to sit down and do a portfolio checkup with you and your colleagues at Presidential, because there may be some rockiness here. You know, just make sure, you know, how you felt about the risk and all that. I just think that it's a really good idea to do that right now.
Well, I do too, Kim, and I've said the same thing a few days, but it's true. If when we were dropping like a bomb back in March, if you were losing sleep at night or hugging the toilet or losing your mind, you know, maybe your risk tolerance is a little bit less than you thought it was. The markets have shot pretty much straight back up. In all likelihood, you've gained back a good amount of your money if you didn't sell right at the bottom. And, yeah, it's almost like a second chance to say, hey, if you didn't like the way that felt, I'm giving you a chance here to do something with most of your money still intact so that doesn't happen to you again.
Right. So I'd highly recommend to give you a call. Natalie will be at the switchboard at 7:30. Phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Or you can go to our landing page, airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com. And we're going to go to break. Jason, have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Kim. Have a great show.
Thank you so much. So we're going to go to break. Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, is in studio. And your friend, Brian Judge, he's on the line. He's an architect up in the Vail Valley. And just it's going to be a really interesting conversation because your question was, why do things cost so much?
Right. And we had this conversation, I think, a year ago after I returned from the Washington National Association of Realtors legislative meetings and the cost of construction. And people think the money's all going in the pockets of the architects, the builders, the developers, when in fact, it's our government.
Aha. So that cliffhanger, we'll go to break. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. It's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And go over to Facebook and give us a like also. In studio with me is a valued partner, and Karen Levine. We've been friends for a long time. And you are an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. And you've introduced us to our guest on the line, and that is Brian Judge. He is the founding partner of Judge & Associates Architects and Planners. He has over 25 years of architectural experience. The bulk of his work is in large-scale and complex construction projects for the resort industry and mountain communities. So, Brian Judge, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having me.
Now, before we get into with you, Brian, Karen, I'd like to get an update on what's happening in the metro real estate market.
Well, it's exciting. The Colorado Association of Realtors Research Committee will be releasing our press release this morning regarding the May statistics and looking at our Metro Denver region. I spoke in the press release regarding the state, but I think the metro region is definitely a reflection of that as well. I think what we anticipated is we would see sold properties, the total amount of sold homes, to drop. And that, of course, did happen. Sold properties was down 43.4%. And the reason for that is because, one, many sellers who thought they would come on the market in the spring chose not to because of the limitations imposed through the COVID, through the stay-at-home orders, et cetera. And then real estate agents were not able to show property for several weeks during those orders. That statistic is not surprising. What is exciting is we are seeing new listings coming on the market each and every day. Those are still down 16% from a year ago. And our inventory continues to be a challenge. Mm-hmm. When we look at active listings on the market in the metro area, and this is including single family homes and condo and townhomes, our inventory is down 30%. But we have a lot of activity out there. There's buyers that are needing to buy, wanting to buy. We're also seeing that people spent a lot of time in their homes these last weeks, and they found some things about their home maybe they don't care for anymore, and they're looking for a change.
Okay.
So I would encourage sellers to look at these next couple of months as great opportunity for them because there are buyers that are looking for homes to buy. So it is still a seller's market. But buyers are being successful, and affordability is better because of the interest rates that Jason mentioned. We have very low 30-year interest rates, historically low, which really provides affordability to buyers better than, you know, people are like, oh, but our prices, they continue to appreciate. As rates go down, it affords you more to buy than as prices go up. So it's a good environment. Anybody thinking about desiring to sell or wanting to know if it's at the right time, I just encourage them to give me a call and we can look at that and see, you know, if there's a strategy that works for them and it makes sense. But I think the real estate market, the typical spring market that runs March through May, we're going to see that delayed, and the statistics are definitely supporting that.
So again, that number is 303-877-7516. And regarding mortgages, Jason was mentioning interest rates, but in general, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group, give him a call at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 regarding mortgages. So let's jump in here with Brian Judge. Brian, you have been an architect for a long time. And when we were preparing for this show, I had explained that I'd been on city council in my community. And one of the things that I was learning that regulations and in codes, you know, new building codes, change every year. And so could you explain to our listeners how that works exactly?
Well, certainly, Kim. In our business as architects, certainly, we work in a lot of different jurisdictions in a lot of different states. And historically, most of those states and jurisdictions have adopted a standardized set of codes. Most of those codes are labeled as the International Code Council. And those International Code Council codes are standardized across the platform for different types of products, whether it be a hospital or a residential home or whatever type of product that is. And those codes.
Whoops, I think we lost him. So
where did he go?
we'll have him back here in just a minute. So let's jump over here then to an issue that you and I were talking about, Karen Levine. And that is, again, something that is working its way through the Colorado legislature. This is a headline that Patty found from the Biz Journals, the Denver Business Journal, that Colorado Democrats want to roll back federal tax deductions. And it's House Bill 1420. It's called the Tax Fairness Act. Now, this is on your radar.
It is. It is. And the Colorado Association of Realtors, as well as the Denver Metro Association of Realtors, has encouraged all our members to reach out.
Okay.
And it's a situation where the federal tax bill provided some savings to sole proprietors, LLCs.
So your small businesses.
Small business people. And Colorado wants to, I guess the term is, decouple that, roll back that particular aspect and tax small business people on their full amount of income. And I think the timing, one, is inappropriate. And why are we attacking small business again?
Again. Yeah. So get your brains around this House Bill 1420. I mean, what happened is government regulations, rules and regulations shut down businesses. And now these small businesses are just trying to get back, you know, going again. And then the Colorado legislature wants to take more of our money on that. So important to watch that. Okay, we lost Brian Judge, but he is back. We were talking about rules and regulations, and you were explaining to us the international code. What's that called? The internet ICC? What is it?
Yeah, that is, Cam. Sorry about that. The phone just dropped off. But the International Code Council, and those rules and regulations are kind of updated about every 3 to 4 years. And the majority of these jurisdictions that we all live in and work in adopt those codes, and then they make supplemental regulations internally. You know, if we happen to be in a specific location, they may make an amendment and so forth to that. And as architects, we certainly follow those codes.
Well, and one thing, when I was on city council, I found, as I was trying to study this and learn this, I talked to our building supervisor who would go to those meetings. And what was interesting to me then is there's like almost lobbyists that go to these meetings to try to influence these codes. So, for example, one of the questions that was on the table was whether or not all residential housing would have to be totally, you know, have sprinklers throughout the house. And guess who was trying to get that into the code was the people that made the sprinklers.
Your systems.
So, and my concern was it necessary, and it would increase the cost of housing. We always hear this mantra about affordable housing, but Karen, I think last year you came back from the realtors meeting in Washington, D.C., and the cost of housing, like a, what, 25% of it?
Yeah, 25 to 35% is government restriction, regulation, permitting. It's government overlay. It's not going into the pockets of the people providing the housing.
Right. It's increasing the cost of that. And so, Brian, I tell you what, let's go to break a little early so we don't have to break into your conversation. You had posted something on Facebook because you'd had a delay in a building permit up in Eagle County. And it really, Karen looked at it, I looked at it, that, you know, these kinds of things can increase the costs and people don't even know about that. So let's go to break. I have Brian Judge on the line. He is the founding partner of Judge & Associates Architects and Planners. Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, is in studio. We're going to go to break. You won't want to miss this. This is fascinating. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. It is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can sign up for my newsletters there. And also, the tickets are available there for Three Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism. Karen Levine, award-winning realtor, is in studio. We have a beautiful landing page on at KimMunson.com where people can get more information about you.
Oh, it is beautiful.
It is.
I think my two golden retrievers are the highlight, though,
yeah.
Don't you?
I do. And that's one other thing. You are very involved with Golden Retriever. Golden
Retriever Rescue of the Rockies.
There you go. So, Brian Judge, you are the founding partner of Judge & Associates Architects and Planners. You've been in the business for over 25 years, and you had posted something really interesting on Facebook. So walk our listeners through that.
I did, Kim. As an architect, and certainly working within the jurisdictions where we practice, you know, part of our sales pitch, as you way, is to kind of know what's going on in the world. And one of those things is to explain to our customers that we're good at what we do. And one of the things that we're very good at what we do is getting approvals for projects. So we understand our codes, and we understand the documents in which we generate. And we ran into kind of a little bit of a hurdle. We had kind of a new staff member in our office, but also, I believe, a new staff member in a county office. And we ran into a roadblock of trying to get a project permitted. That roadblock went on for about 3 or 4 weeks until some frustration when a client actually called me and I tried to step in myself. And I really kind of found out that the permitting authority was using a statement to me on the phone that said I needed to apply what they classified as a rule of thumb. I asked them for all this kind of information related to what and where in a code or where in this information could be found. We spent 3.5 weeks or so going back and forth until the point in time where we just changed our documents included this individual's rule of thumb into our documents in order to achieve a permit. So our poor clients, you know, they waited 3, 4 weeks. I had an open hole. They had already dug out their project. The soil was ready, already gone off the project, and everybody had to leave the job site for about 3.5 weeks, kind of waiting to get that permit in place. So it was a really frustrating kind of time for everybody, and certainly a delay and a cost delay. And an emotional delay on top of that.
Mm-hmm. So rule of thumb, it was interesting in your post, you said that you had 6+ years of post-high school education, 5+ years of internship, the state requirements for license and continuing education, you have the high cost of insurance coverage, and the years, you said 30 in your case, of post-license experience. And you were told to just Google it and you'll see what that rule of thumb was. That had to be somewhat astounding. Just well, Google it.
It was a little astounding. It was humorous at the same time. But to be honest with you, I actually Googled it. You know, it is something that you can find. It was something that was interesting to understand their point of view on it. The difficult part, as you say, has been doing this for 30 years. You know, to be an architect, it's not the easiest path of education. You certainly spend an awful lot of time focused on your career in order to take on these responsibilities. And while I appreciated the individual's thought process into what we were doing, I was really just challenging their position based upon code, where we started. And where is this information found? At what document can it be found? How can I be educated as an architect in order to do a faster job for that person and for this entity? And in reality, they couldn't bring that to light. So we just kind of caved in. And it really wasn't a cost impact to our client. It was just a get it done, move on. We've all been in that situation and all kinds of things in our lives. Sometimes it's easier just to do it and to move on. And that's where we certainly found ourselves in this case. Although it took quite a bit of time to get there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and time is money, as both Brian and I know, and I think that's the frustration. I have an example that just
certainly
happened yesterday, which was I have a lender that's requesting an amend extend to draw out some specifics regarding a seller concession. The verbiage they've asked us to put into an amend extend mirrors the verbiage that's in the contract. I'm most baffled why we would have to document it twice. But those are the type of things I think that Brian and I run into that cause frustration, take up time, and ultimately there's a cost to that. And we lost sight sometimes of appropriate logic along with what makes, you know, just what makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know
Karen, you were talking earlier.
Go ahead, Brian.
Karen, you were talking earlier. Yeah, Karen, you were talking earlier about employee housing, or maybe you work in, but that's a huge problem, certainly up here in our mountain markets and so forth. And personally, I've lobbied for years, both at, you know, quasi-government agencies, whether it be metropolitan districts or homeowners associations, and then certainly at higher governmental agencies, whether it be counties or towns, in order to reduce those restrictions and reduce those requirements in order to get projects approved. And that's a huge problem. You know, these jurisdictions do go into these code books, into these rules and regulations which were written, you know, in order to protect, say, larger projects or more complex situations. And they apply those same standards, you know, to something that may be a huge community benefit. And they struggle with that. And it's the same thing as reading any type of contract. People struggle with understanding what one thing says while they're trying to implement something else. Mm-hmm. And that's a governmental problem that I'm not sure we'll ever see go away.
Well, you mentioned employee housing, affordable housing in the mountain communities. And I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, Brian, to realize that, as Karen mentioned, that the cost of rules and regulations contribute to at least 25% of the cost of new construction. We've had Randall O'Toole on. He said that in the Denver market, it could be as much as 40%. Well, you know, if we really are serious about affordable housing, then the first thing that I think we should do is start to reduce those rules and regulations. And my gosh, if you can take 25 to 40% off the top there, you know, and some reasonable regulations are important. Mm-hmm. But so let's say you can take 20% off the cost of housing. That's pretty significant, Brian.
Yeah, and time. We absolutely can. We went back to the conversation of time. In the reality, certainly in our business, as being a personal service corporation, all we really have to offer is time. Mm-hmm. So if we can shorten that timeline, similar to what my post really said, if we can shorten that timeline from start to finish, we can shorten the cost. And that includes at the government level of review, overreaching review at some point in time, and requirements that are there for submittals and so forth. Just add time to the process. And that is that's a killer. That's certainly a killer in a cost problem.
Right. And I think that's where people need to understand that Yes, government employees are important, but job security has to be validated. And sometimes they take that extra time, you know, so that they still have a job. So I think there's these challenges, and it's pulling, as Kim would say, sometimes pulling back the onion and saying we need to take some layers off of this regulation to make things more affordable, especially in the housing market. And Brian's in an interesting industry marketplace because it's resort housing and, or resort environment. And so employee housing is critical for them, as it is in the Front Range, and it has always been a challenge. And I think there are some things, if people came together, government and public came together and had a conversation, let's talk about how we can improve affordability with less regulation. I just appreciate that Brian was willing to come on after I sort of threw him under the bus because of his post, but it was such a realistic, a today happening of why things cost what they cost because of some of the things that we are required to go through governmentally. So I just hope this conversation will help people understand that.
Yeah, so, I'll say that I'm not a huge social media poster outside of, you know, bragging about my kids or something to that effect. But this post has gotten great traction. Not only you, Karen, and certainly now you, Kim, and your listeners, but numerous people have called me, including the government in which it was kind of pointed at, as well as people in different departments in that government. And then some other governments have actually called me and asked me a little bit more specifically about what I was referencing. So it was nice to know that somebody out there at least does care. I don't know if it will shorten the process or not. I've been asked to expand upon it a little bit within the jurisdiction in which it happened. And you know, I'll certainly keep Karen informed about what happens as time goes on.
Well, and there has been a positive outcome from this post, correct, mm-hmm. Brian?
Yes, absolutely. By the time I posted it, you know, the project, the process had already been rectified and we moved forward. But I do believe there will be. I believe that at least in the jurisdiction in which it had taken place, the staff was fairly new. It was transitional due to a couple different reasons, one being the mountain communities and two just by being a time of being transitioned for lots of people. So hopefully it's a learning experience. And hopefully it will help to shorten some of the bureaucratic red tape, as you might say.
Okay. We've got about 3 minutes left, and you are up in the mountain communities. You're also on the Planning Commission in your community. You know, after this whole COVID-19 thing, what are you seeing up in the mountains?
Well, we just resumed meetings, so we have certainly some protocols in place to resume those meetings. We all have our separation, and we're relying a little bit more upon the media sources and so forth, and sign-in sheets and those types of things, and different opportunities for people to voice their opinions. But so those wheels are really just starting again in our mountain communities. I think we kind of have two different types of things that take place related to planning, kind of smaller, you know, more infill type projects, and then larger, much more impactful projects. And although that maybe that doesn't sound different than most communities, you know, for a small community, for a small mountain community, Eagle County, well, that's 55,000 people. It's not that small. Land area is large. But those larger projects are considerably impactful. So projects are slowing down a little bit. The county governments have actually expanded the timeline for commenting, expanded the opportunities for individuals to get involved in that process. Now, that's a great thing for the public. That's certainly a great thing for the NIMBYism of the world, you know, people to understand things that are happening in their backyards and to get involved. But just as we were talking before, it's just extending the timeline now for a developer or a development team and adding cost to that project. I'm all for it. At some points in time, certainly larger projects, more impactful projects need to take a little bit slower approach. But this same idea is also happening with smaller projects, mostly due to the COVID issues and state regulatory requirements for notifications and those types of things. So we're just going to have to wait and see how that impacts the construction industry in general, and certainly then the real estate market in general in the mountains. We're seeing certainly in the real estate market and in the construction market a slowdown cycle in the resort industry but not necessarily a panic at this point in time. And certainly people are already looking ahead towards that 2021 construction season as to what will take place next year.
Okay. Well, Brian Judge, founding partner of Judge and Associates, Architects and Planners, thank you so much.
Kim, thank you. Karen, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. And Karen Levine, great to have you in studio. Your final thoughts?
I don't know that I have any other than it's a beautiful hump day, and go out and enjoy Colorado sunshine today while you ponder all the things we talked about. It's sometimes daunting to get your head around it, but try to find your voice and share what you've learned today.
Well, thank you. So that's Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. Her phone number is 303-877-7516. And our quote for today, I just wanted to talk a little bit more about the black-robed regiment. The ministers of the revolution were like their Puritan predecessors, bold and fearless in the cause of their country. No class of men contributed more to carry forward the revolution and to achieve our independence than did the ministers. With their prayers, their patriotic sermons, and their services, they rendered the highest assistance to the civil government, the army, and the country. And that was written by B.F. Morris, a historian, back in 1864. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Wandering out into this great unknown.